And you definitely want to watch us because we are going to do a activity, a group activity here on Palmetto Mornings, and can't wait to share it with you. But we have in the studio this morning, Chelsea Sutton. She is the trauma program manager for Piedmont Medical Center. That's because May is Trauma Awareness Month. Rightfully so. So we're going to bring Chelsea Sutton on in to Palmetto Mornings. Good morning to you, Chelsea.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So many folks would argue and say May is a good time to kick off Trauma Awareness Month because you're entering the summer season.
We sure are. They call it the 100 deadliest days of summer for a good reason. There's lots happening and there's more opportunities to get hurt and get injured. So we really take May seriously and try to bring a lot of awareness to the community about what trauma is. Trauma can be really, really bad, and trauma can be kind of simple, and that's still what we consider a trauma. It can be you skin your knee falling down off your bicycle, or it can be you fall off a ladder cleaning your gutters and you have a head injury. It can be a bad car accident. So we see lots of types of injuries all over the spectrum, and we just want folks to understand that that's what we consider trauma. It all goes in that bucket. And we are adequately prepared to treat that at Piedmont Medical Center.
But yeah, because people's threshold for pain might be different, right? Some folks, to your point, get a skinned knee and it might be the end of the world. Some other folks look down and they said, I skinned my knee 3 days ago. Right. What's going on? So that's a good point. So, but when it comes to handling trauma cases at Piedmont, remind us again of our trauma level and what can you see? What do you typically see during the month of May? Walk us through that.
Sure. So we are a level 3 trauma center at Piedmont. We are actively working to elevate our status and become a level 2 trauma center, which that means that we would have more specialty capabilities, be able to keep more critically injured patients here in our community. That's something that we already really are doing because we've done a lot of the legwork. We just have to show it to the governing bodies to show that we can. But that's really exciting for our community because it means that you don't have to travel to Charlotte. You don't have to travel across state lines if you don't have to, because we've got those specialists here in town that are prepared, that are trained, and that are on site ready to take care of you if you've got a significant injury.
And when you mention that, you've got to have a good team to do this, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I love our trauma team. We have 4 amazing trauma and critical care surgeons. They're double board certified in both. So they can manage critical patients without the assistance of other critical care physicians because they have that knowledge and that specialty training. We've got 5 nurse practitioners, physician assistants, a combination, and we are hiring a 6th here soon. And so we've got really full coverage of trauma specialty care. So those are the clinical folks that take care of our patients. Something that being a trauma program also means is that you have to really mine your data on your patients. And we can't make things better for our patients and our community without that. So we've got a great group of performance improvement professionals that are, they're both nurses, but they work with me now. And they audit all of our cases. They implement education activities. They help improve our processes at the hospital to make sure that we are adequately, you know, meeting our metrics, but we're improving the care of our patients too. So they do a phenomenal job. They also help with our injury prevention activities. That's something that we focus on with trauma as well. We may not be able to prevent every accident from happening, but there's certain tips and strategies that we can teach the community and help involve them in, which is one of the things we're going to do in a little bit, to help prevent how significant it can be and to help prevent loss of life if we can.
And we know Piedmont Medical Center continues to grow, and all of the examples you gave, when folks have trauma or a boo-boo, they can go to any of these locations that you all have and get all of this dedicated staff and everything. It's not just at one hospital anymore. You all have duplicated this process at all of your locations. So everyone's getting the same care wherever they go in the Piedmont family.
Everyone is getting emergency care, and we are doing a lot of education with every ER that we now have in our market. Rock Hill is still the trauma center location. So if they do require admission or surgery or anything like that, any type of intervention, we are the hospital that manages that because we're taking the critical patients. But yes, we are absolutely educating the frontline on how to manage the critical things to stabilize. And then if they do need extra treatment, then we'll take over.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking with Chelsea Sutton. She is the trauma program manager for Piedmont Medical Center. In addition to May being Trauma Awareness Month, this is also a time in the year where we really become educated with Stop the Bleed, and kind of explain what this is, because this has caught on nationally the last couple of years.
Yeah, for sure. This has been in place for quite some time. It was implemented, I believe, in 2012, and has really gained a lot of traction over the last 5 years or so. So Stop the Bleed is an intervention and an educational activity for the community. Hemorrhage, or bleeding to death, is the number one cause of death in trauma patients. What's really frustrating for us is it's also the number one cause of preventable death, right, meaning that there's something that we can do to stop it.
Yeah.
So often we've got people who are getting injured, whether it's a car accident, whether they've fallen and they live in a rural area, and it takes a while for first responders to get there. Mm. Think of how much blood they're losing and how critical their condition is while we're waiting on that time for first responders to arrive and for them to get to the hospital. So Stop the Bleed was designed to help teach the community, to teach bystanders how to recognize what life-threatening bleeding looks like and what to do, how to stop the bleed, basically. There's three different things that we teach. We teach direct pressure. So if you see a bleeding wound, you can use a piece of gauze or just use your hands and you just push down as hard as you can. So that's the easiest thing to do. If there's a wound that does appear to be deep and open, we teach what's called wound packing. So I have my fun little gauze that clearly has been used to teach this many times. And you essentially, I know it feels kind of gross, but just think about
it's
what you're
emergency.
Doing to save their life, right? You use the gauze to pack and pack and pack as deep as you can until you've filled all the space in there. And what that's doing is that's absorbing all of the blood that's in there, and it's putting pressure on those bleeders that are down in there, in that tissue. Where just direct pressure on top, it's not really stopping where that source is coming from.
What if you don't have gauze?
If you don't have gauze, you can use a
t-shirt.
You
right.
can use anything
Socks,
that you find.
A man's tie, just
yep.
anything.
Anything okay. that you can think of.
Pack it.
And I know normally we're like, oh my gosh, that's they're going to get an infection. It's not clean.
But this is an emergency.
This is
right?
an emergency.
Yeah.
We can take care of that later. Yeah. So you use what you've got on hand. Okay. And then the last thing is a tourniquet application. So I'm going to show you guys what our tourniquet looks like. But again, you can use a belt. You can use a necktie. You can use anything that you've got that could do the same sort of thing. So a tourniquet, this is only going to work on if the wound that you're seeing is on an extremity, on an arm or a leg. So you would tie the tourniquet. These are our medical grade. But so you would tie it around the extremity about 2 to 3 inches above the wound. And I'm going to set this up so you guys can see what I'm doing.
So there's two wounds on there.
There's
so this
two
was,
wounds.
This is, you're using the bottom
I'm
one?
I'm going to use this
okay.
one.
So above?
Above the wound.
Okay.
Above the wound.
All right.
And then you twist this as tight as you can.
Okay.
And it gets really tight. And then it actually locks right there.
Wow.
And then you can put what time you put it on. If you have these, if you remember, if you were using something else when you're telling the bystanders, that's helpful for us because it lets us know how long we have to restore the blood flow to that extremity once they get to the hospital.
And the purpose of that is what? So it made sense to put the gauze in there to soak up the blood and put pressure on there.
Yep.
That's doing what right now?
So all of the blood that is coming down this extremity and would be pouring out of this wound, it's stopping that from happening. So it's compressing those vessels above it. That's why we teach you to go just 2 to 3 inches above the wound, so as close to it as possible, because you don't want to not have blood flow to as much tissue as you can above it, so you can save that tissue. If we have time, I was going to pass this off and let you guys try.
Yeah, let's try. We've got probably about a minute.
I love that you do this because I feel like so much of being prepared for an emergency is just running through your mind once.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember these things, right? Like even in a couple years, God forbid, you're in that situation, you'll remember you were watching Palmetto Mornings and you learned that you could use a belt or a necktie and you just do 2 inches above the wound and it can save someone's life.
Absolutely.
You just
got to
run through it once in your mind.
So I'm going to use this gnarly wound right there. That was bad. Okay.
Yep.
So I come up to the scene. I take off my necktie, even though I don't have a necktie. I'm going to use this as a necktie. I'll do it tight. It's all right, buddy. It's all right. Stay with me.
And that's a good point because if they're conscious, this is going to hurt. It doesn't feel
it should
good
hurt.
To
it
do
should
this.
Hurt, right?
But please don't let that deter you from doing it anyway, because this is what's going
to
save them.
Or packing a wound,
Or packing the wound.
Stay with me. Oh, that is tight. Yeah. I'm sorry, man. Okay, perfect. All right.
There you go.
And I did it at 8:50 in the morning on Wednesday, May the 20th.
You're a natural. Okay.
Oh, perfect.
Look at you.
Dr. McFadden.
Saving lives
over there. Reporting for duty. It's so easy to do it in this controlled environment.
Sure.
But you would probably encourage folks to try it.
Yeah.
Better to
practice.
Do this mm-hmm. than without. And we've seen what happens in movies, right, in real life. And the people are like, oh, no.
Exactly.
But it's better to save. It's better to do that than lose the person, right?
And again, this is what we see all day, every day. Mm-hmm. And this is the number one thing that unfortunately kills our trauma patients.
Wow.
And we've got to make a bigger impact on that. Yes. So please, as the community, this is for your people, right?
Yeah.
Do this for your community. This also has no age limit. I've taught my daughter to do this. When I've taught different community groups, and she was, I think, 8 at the time. So it's okay. Not difficult. So mm-hmm. you can teach any age to do this. And we've just got more, trauma warriors out there that are ready to save a life.
Well, thank you so much for bringing this to our attention. You're never too old to learn something new, including this. This, to Chelsea's point, could save a life.